That's the call. That's the call to knowledge. It's August 22. And Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show for you. We're going to continue right on. I had a great show last night, as usual, with Steve Barish. A lot of new subjects are always being... Boy, we started to talk about quantum biology. But anyway, that's not what this tape's about. It's coming in the future. Quantum biology. Woo-hoo. So now we're winding up the puppy here, as we say. And where's Dr. Bell? Are you there, Dr. Bell? I'm sure you'll be popping right up. Well, maybe not. You were there. Ooh. Yeah, we're going in the right direction. I heard you. Yes, I did.
The next
there you are, you
stinker. Government agents were there. A bunch of in vans. Coming down the alley were a couple of creatures that looked like...
this is a good story. It happened to
the past
several years ago. I'll never forget this one. The cops were like freaked out over this one.
Brush,
the beach.
About, you know, a long brush, round brush, about this tall, screeching at the top of its voice, screech, bouncing off garage doors with government agents chasing it. That was the scenario here one night in Laguna. We had some amazing things that happened. And the government chased it into the van. They pulled up in the alley. They got it going down the alley until it was going to hit the street down there behind the cottage. And then they had the van right there, so the door was open, so the thing bounced right into the...
What did they do, pick it up on radar?
I don't know how they got it, but I think there's a base straight behind over here. We have a lot of ships fly out of an underground base. It's right over, almost straight north here, about a quarter of a mile. Because sometimes when you come down the canyon, coming in from the freeway over there, you see these ships take off at night, and they leave a brilliant exhaust, a green trail behind them. And half the town has seen them. This area of town is famous for that, huh?
Which ones leave the blue trail, the blue light?
Well, that's usually an Andromeda or a Pleiadian ship because of the ionization.
Oh.
The beryllium ships leave a green form of radiation where they have a kind of a glow.
So there's the gray bases here and the other.
You got both. We were down here on Holly Street, at the Aliso Pier, and we were at a party up on Holly Street right above the Aliso Pier, and a Pleiadian ship flew out from under the water. And I hope everybody at the party saw it. And we hadn't had time to have even drink yet. It was early that early in the evening. Everybody was straight yet. This huge ship, it's beautiful, came out of the Aliso Pier down there, threw water all over everything, and was straight on up. You know, one of the things that happened, I could sit here the rest of the day and tell you about what goes on in Laguna Beach, but stuff happens all the time. But bottom line is, this part of town is concentrated with ELF, so you have to deal with it more over here.
Is that from the grave? Or the government?
It has to do with the vortex that's in this area, you know. Because, see, we're on the positive side of the vortex. I have some drawings I'll show you when you come up there. And the Andromedans are working that volcano through our system a lot. They're constantly working. Once you get a system up and running, then what happens is the system will give you a consciousness. And you follow that consciousness, will change your lives. When you change your lives, we'll start to network you. You come into the network. Now when you come into the network, your personal environment has got some kind of direction. The network that you'd be brought into has some kind of planetary mission. So you begin to accomplish. Example of that is when Joe Randazzo lives up in Vancouver, he's got one of the most powerful fire star systems. Not the most, but one of the most. There are several around that are very powerful. And so when Roy over here got into the fire star systems because he was attracted to that. First thing I did is have Roy go up to Joe's house to check out the fire star system up there. It was quite an experience, wasn't it? I mean, it was worth the trip, wasn't it? Yeah. And see, that's how networking. And then now he's getting ideas how to hook his fire star up. The way I met my wife, we were in Germany at Marnau, which is in South Germany. It's in Bavarian Alps, about 100 miles north of Switzerland. And it was about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. We had a big fire star like that up on the stage and about 10 lasers on it. And that creates a vortex which attracts spaceships. So about two-thirds of the way through my concert, I had about 500 people in the audience in those concert halls over in Europe. They're like big A-frame chalets, and usually one side of it is glass. So you got maybe a 3-4-story A-frame, all glass. Well, I couldn't see outside of the A-frame at night. The Swiss, you know, the house were down there in the south. You could see it because the air was a little thinner there. I was up on a stage playing the synthesizer, and in this concert I was playing, I had a Pleiadian ship in the speaker, in the PA system, you know. So then I was playing the synthesizer with it, so I was playing part of our fellowship album, which is here. All of a sudden, about 50 people in the latter part of my concert got up and left. I figured, boy, this isn't my night. People are really hating this music, you know. So the next thing I know, people are pointing out the window, and then the next thing I know, as I'm ending the concert, I'm seeing red lights. You know, imagine a bunch of cop cars driving up outside and the red lights going around, policia, whatever they call them over there, and the lights are wailing off the windows. And there was snow on the ground, it was amplified. What happened is in the concert, a Pleiadian ship, two or three of them, started hovering outside the concert hall with all these people. And the people that were in the window area saw the ships. So they were rushing out to see the ships. Well, the Air Force got stirred up. And so I forgot to leave that part where the jets started flying over the place in the middle of the night. The Air Force came after him, you know. And when the Air Force came after him, the cops came out. And they cordoned off this whole town of Marno. So everybody in the concert was outside looking at spaceships. And that was a Firestar concert. And that's what they do. You know, and this happened more than once. But they generate tremendous energy when you get into these. Each one of these systems does stuff like that. But we get dramatic results, and we get witnesses. If you look in our systems catalog, our systems book, which is right here, I think there's a picture, yeah. This is a picture taken right next door to Jack Nicholson's house in Aspen, Colorado. And this hillside is called Bluebells. This is south in the Aspen sky. And there's five ships here. You can see two of them. This was a chalet type of house. On the south wall was a Firestar. And when we took a picture of the Firestar, we got ships. As a matter of fact, 30 people in the town saw the ships, because I was doing a seminar up there at this time. And it made the front cover of the Aspen Times, because that was well documented.
What are they powering ships with?
These?
Plutonium reactors.
Well, they use LM-115, but the Indian ships are sound powered and light separated. They have sound generators in them that separate sound into light, which maybe I'll get into tomorrow when we get into the higher point of this. I'm just giving you some cases in point, you know, if you want to check some of this stuff out about what's going on here. Now, as I was leading up, when I was leading up to the next thing that we deal with, is remember on the chart right here, remember the vibration. Somebody in here named some of the vibrations that reacts on the hormones, on the endocrine glands to release hormones. What are some of the things that cause hormones to enter the bloodstream now? So I want to see how you guys are doing.
Light, color, sound, stellar.
Right. Lunar, right?
Lunar.
Okay. A comment on lunar energy. Lunar energy. Okay, lunar energy has to do with surface tension of the Earth, right? It also has to do with surface tension of the skin, and this is where the science of astrology comes in. In the body, we have 7 endocrine glands, right? We have 7 of these in here. 7 of these glands. Okay. Each one of these glands is tuned in to a planet. Okay. They're all tuned into the moon, every one of them. All 7 of these glands are tuned into the moon. That's the closest planet there is to us, right? Is the moon. The moon, at a certain time when it's full, causes the tides to come to a certain level. The tides don't come every night to the same level. The tides never go to the same level. There's 365 variations of tides per year, depending on where the Earth is at in a season and where the moon is in that season. Okay, that's what they have tide charts for. Now, the personality is polarized on different planets. Each person is tuned to a different planet. Okay, that's part of getting into the ray charts. But the moon is the big one. The moon, when it's full, causes large amounts of serotonin to accumulate in the brain and not distribute itself through the body. In a criminalistic mind or a pent-up spiritual mind, this causes crime. In Turkey, they have 1,000-year-old laws that say if a guy goes out and commits this crime, if O.J. would have done it during the full moon of Turkey, he might have had some lenience, okay, versus doing it during the new moon, okay? Because you have a leniency when you have the full moon period, okay?
Don't sleep on it that way.
Yeah. I'm not even saying he did it, but it looks like he did it. You know, he might not have done it. He might have been elaborately set up. Who knows? But I'm just saying that's the kind of stuff that goes down in this worst situation. Now, the human body also is mostly water. So, depending on where the planets are and where the moon is, this will cause different changes or pressures on the capillary action of these endocrine glands. So, meaning, I can walk up to you today and go, boom, and nobody jumps. Whereas another day, I can go up and go, boom, and jump out of your skin. Completely different reaction for the same stimulus. Why? Because different hormones are set, different frequencies are set because of the environmental conditions of the full moon and the new moon and all the planets. So, Pleiadian technology, one of its directives is it teaches us how to understand per se the planetary influence on our bodies, per se the stellar influence on our bodies, per se the lunar influence on our bodies. And this means that everybody in here, under the same stimulus on the same day, is going to have a different reaction when I walk over here and put C on this off-tune piano. Okay? Everybody in here is going to interpret that differently. So, everybody needs to understand how you interpret something and then find out what center is. Learn what center is. Before you break the rules, learn what you're breaking. Okay? Become very finite before you become infinite. And one of the big problems that I'm seeing with the New Age movement is everybody's cosmically infinite right now. And they're so full of bullshit that it's ridiculous because they have no idea what's going on other than things that are going on.
They don't even know what's going on with the government.
The government doesn't even know what's going on. It's so compartmentalized, you know. So
you don't even have. I'll go into some of that tomorrow. But you don't even have a government. You haven't had a government in this country for 200 years.
Well, we got Bill Clinton. You know,
well, he's
in charge of affairs. Yeah. I mean, look, when OJ goes to trial, Russians, what do they watch? They don't watch Bill Clinton. People in Bavaria, what do they watch? Everybody's watching O.J. Everybody's tired of the government. We want some action here, even if it's negative, you know. Nobody's paying attention to the government. They want something different. We must have a real-life soap, you know. Remember during Watergate? Everybody watched, you know, Senator Sam, and he was the superstar, you know. The chairman of the Speaker for the House. I mean, people want to see something besides the bullshit that goes on in their daily life. Or at least see it personified. Nobody pays any attention to the government anymore. Okay. So now everybody has a feeling for that. Okay. So you need to understand, and today I'm just giving you generalizations. Okay. That's all I'm going to be able to do in the seminar. I will get specific at certain points. For example, when you start working with a fire star orb, we muscle test you for 5 different chakras in the body. When we start running a receptor, for example, we'll muscle test you for 1 chakra in your body. Because what we're doing when we muscle test you for receptor is we're looking in the body. You've got to start somewhere. And we're looking at the hydrogen atom. The hydrogen atom is combining with 3 other atoms in a solid. And these three, this combination of the 3 around this octahedral form is creating all of your cells. Your hormones are cells. They're made up of consciousness. Obviously, everybody here has got a breakdown in the cell reproduction system on the DNA level. And so what we got to do is find out where the breakdown occurs, and that's when we muscle test you for the color that you need in the hydrogen atom, where you need to be pumped up on that one frequency. And that's what muscle testing for the receptor is all about, individual muscle testing. Okay, so that's one area that we start to go in to the body on. Now, when you start pumping up the hydrogen, it is weak as hell. Let's say you've got a severe weight problem. Well, that means the thyroid is blowing out, probably. Or it could be pituitary. You've got to come back up. Because remember, the pituitary gland is the one that tells the thyroid gland what to do. So we have to muscle test to find out whether the problem is in the thyroid or pituitary. Now you start wearing, let's say, an emerald green receptor because your third ray energy is low. Obviously, you're going to need more green vegetables. You're going to need more vitamin C. So you need to take your biochemistry. Okay? You want to sleep at night. You need to get into a system to balance yourself. All these things start to come into play to make a change. Gradually, you know, how many of you in here don't know why we have our shoes off? Does everybody know why we have our shoes off?
Grounded.
Well, more than grounded. Why do we have our shoes off?
She told us in the beginning.
Oh, she told her? What did she tell you?
Just not bringing in the negative energy.
Or
point. How about being a little more specific?
The toxins from the streets.
Right, exactly. The immune system. What's the largest organ in your body?
Skin.
Exactly. Anybody that wears shoes in their house ought to have their head examined, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? At least one area of your house should have no shoes on. You know, you gotta learn something somewhere. Somewhere you gotta learn not to be so barbaric. You know, all the chewing gum and the shit you track in, terrible. Your body uses up a lot of energy keeping your immune system online to fight all the shit that goes in your system. If you could look through a microscope at the bottom of your soles or your feet, you probably wouldn't want to put your shoes on. You probably have a pair of socks and a shoe and a shoe inside of the shoe. You probably take one shoe off when you got to your yard, the other shoe when you got to your house, and your socks off when you came inside, and you probably have your carcass sterilized once a week. If you could just see what comes into your body. This robs your body of energy. When you rob your body of energy, you rob your body of consciousness. Okay? Because consciousness is energy. And you're taking away your consciousness when you wear shoes in the house. These are the kinds of things, but this is the sensitivity that you need to develop. Okay? Now I'll give you another example. How many of you have heard of negative ionization? Okay? How many of you have used ionizers?
I have.
Yeah. How many of you have used ionizers and not noticed any difference? Here's why. Okay? I'd be a bad ionizer. But typically, most people, you breathe air, right? It's not the air that's going to get you high. It's the stimulation of the nose that's going to get you high. I almost see that slide. I think I'm going to do it tomorrow. Let's turn the slide projector around. Anybody even see that? Seven levels are here. Right out here, right across here in the astral plane, on the sixth level, the sixth plane is the emotional plane of consciousness. Okay, it's the emotional plane. When you breathe air in, boom, what happens is it triggers the pituitary body in the brain. Pituitary, right? Pituitary body secretes a hormone called vasopressin. Vasopressin goes over to the brain and turns off some switches. These switches of turning on and off cause energy to flow through the spinal cord. The spinal cord then relaxes certain cells and changes certain water ducts on the body, surface tension, and you get a feeling of euphoria. The feeling being triggered now from the energy of the astral plane. But most people, when they breathe in negative ions, don't feel anything because they don't have any vasopressin to react from. The hormone is physically missing from your body. Okay? Now, this is not a universal discovery. Back when the researchers were doing research with ionization in Europe years ago, they found that vasopressin was one of the things that was stimulated by negative ionization. And so they did, Sandoz, for example, did what a lot of companies do, created a drug called vasopressin. And what you did is you squirted this thing up in your nose when you were near a stream or a waterfall or some condition that would lead to pleasure, and this would stimulate your creativity. And it's a drug, and you can buy it by prescription in a drugstore. The problem with that is that if you are squirting yourself up with hormones all the time, there's no initiative in the body for the body to generate vasopressin, so the pituitary gland starts to go into atrophy. It doesn't function anymore. So what we get to negate that problem, okay, is we put, we go back into the stream. We go back into the stream. And we look at the body. We say, well, we need more vasopressin. What are we going to do about this? This is one thing. The way we discovered this was people were wearing pyramids. If you wear the radome and power dome, it enhances your creativity. But what we found was that people would wear, when we first invented the power dome back in about 1976, or the fire dome, or radome rather, people would get creativity for about 2 or 3 months, and then they wouldn't have it anymore. They say, when I first got the pyramid, I got a reaction from it, my attention span was increased, and now I don't have any effect anymore. What happened? So we started on research, and we found out that the pyramid was stimulating the enzymes and stimulating the pituitary like it was supposed to. The pyramid did that, but the body wasn't producing enough, didn't have enough biochemical ingredients to manufacture anymore. It was so not used to having it that when you start using up what little is in there, there wasn't any left. So, we go into vasopressin, and vasopressin is made up of some minerals. We have some trace minerals, right? It has some enzymes out of this compartment over here, it's B3, B6, coenzyme factors of vasopressin. It has two amino acids, lysine and arginine. Okay? This is what vasopressin is. So that's why when you look at the vitamins over here, specifically we put large amounts of lysine, arginine, B6, and B3 in there. So that your body, when you take this, will start manufacturing vasopressin, especially when you wear silver on your body, like a silver receptor or a power dome or a radome, because silver causes that, it catalyzes that response. If you look at the book Death of Ignorance, you'll find a chart in there. And in this chart, which is in the back, on page 305, you'll find amino acids, monoamines, and drugs. And if you want to have a psilocybin reaction, in other words, you want to get high on mushrooms without taking mushrooms, increase your dopamine levels in the body. How do you increase your dopamine? Take the amino acids that corresponds to the manufacturing of dopamine, primarily L-tyrosine. And if you can get L-dopa, but be careful with L-dopa, it's a dangerous protein if you don't understand it. And start wearing something that stimulates that part of the body, the manufacturers, in this case, the pineal gland, this type of transmitter of monoamine substance. Okay? So you can, by understanding this is a base in an empty stomach, lots of water, the right receptor, the right system, and the right amino acids, you can therapeutically change your entire biochemical system around and become super conscious if you choose. Okay? If you're a recovering alcoholic like I am, because I used to drink a lot more than I do now, like gross quantities, I know that I have destroyed my body's ability to produce large amounts of dopamine. Dopamine is the high that I used to get when I used to drink hard liquor. I don't drink hard liquor now. But I used to drink a bottle of tequila, and when I'd get up in the morning, I'd say, oh, what else is new? You know, or a bottle of vodka. You know, nothing. You know, it's like I woke up like you drank coffee when I was younger. Because I didn't know any better. It was just a thing that gave me a buzz, you know. When you do that to yourself, and you finally wake up, then you have to go back in and repair yourself. And so how you repair yourself is you put in the different enzymes, the different vitamins, and the different proteins on the amino acid level, and you can repair anything in your body, or you can change anything in your body, and you're in the environment. So, the death of ignorance, and a little bit of basic biochemistry, and no help from the FDA, because realize as we speak, they're trying to outlaw amino acids and herbs. With that and the understanding of this chart, you can do just about anything in your body you want. Okay? When we start getting into time travel and some of the stuff we do with assistive technology, you've got to have the consciousness for it, or nothing's going to happen. You're going to be one of these people with a system and nothing happens. We've got some people that buy a system and nothing happens. We've got other people that buy a system and everything happens. And those are the ones that get networked. Because you've got to have the body chemistry to go with you know, the electricity to go with the precursing levels in the body. Okay? And so by using the Death of Ignorance, the Tape series, and maybe this new book, if I ever finish it, Birth, a New Beginning, you can start to really understand how to make gross changes in your body. You can become your own alchemist at home. Okay, is there any questions now that we're covering here? Everybody understands all this, right? Well, I hope none of you have to swim. You all can swim, but you have to stomach. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to go into the aura frequencies a little bit. I could give you a whole dissertation on psilocybin. It's an amazing element. Pleiadian spaceships that resemble the hulls resemble psilocybin. Have you ever structure? Have you ever taken a shell, a seashell, and stuck it up in your ear? Okay. Have you ever noticed how a snail grows? Fibonacci series, right? When you start changing volumes with the Fibonacci series, you start changing energy. And if you take and change that energy into certain frequency patterns, you create mantras that holographically transmit energy, and you can transcend space and time. That's how these interdimensional vehicles work, for example. This science that I just explained to you biochemically is the same science as geometry on another level. They're the same thing. I'm just showing you biochemically what you do. Then you can organizationally use sound. We have different sounds, which I'll talk about, to amplify these changes in your body.
That's what they're doing down there. With people. The anti-gravity, you fix that generator with the wave guys.
Yeah.
They're actually pulling matter through hyperspace.
Yeah.
Instead of going to a location, they actually pull the location wherever they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. You see, that's what the beauty of the system is. Is you actually pull the location to you in another way. And you teach it in meditation. If you study any form of meditation used by the Buddhists from that particular Taoist philosophy, the Buddha meditations, they don't have you astral traveling all over the damn place out of your body. You sit there and you center yourself in your body, and your astral travel right into your body, and the astral plane comes to you. You don't go to it. And that's where the grades get people, because the most school of monistic thought that are occurring now, they're not teaching meditation properly. That's what I liked about Kriya Yoga when I was initiated into Kriya. It was about bringing all of your dharma, all of your past life karma, present, past, future, into the moment. To this exact moment, and accepting everything exactly as it's happening, and actually creating how this moment can be generated, and then transmitting your thought form, your moment energy, out into the world, and making the whole rest of the world conform to your moment. That's power. That's how power works. And if we get into the, you know, it's really interesting. I saw Fender Music do this. They used to, when I was first learning how to play guitar, they had what's called the Wildwood series of guitar. And they used to take a tree and they'd shoot resin into this tree, beautiful resin, those blue colors and dyes. Then they cut this tree at a certain point after about a year, and it had this beautiful, in the rings of the tree. You ever seen those, Roy, those guitars? The really classic. You have this beautiful guitar. You can see all the rings of the tree in there and all the different colors of dyes as nature transmitted it into them. Yes, compression. And the Pleiadian ship is similar. You see, you take a plant, and you take a plant and drive it out here on the freeway, and here's the horns every day, right? Or you can take a plant and put it into a biosphere, play music to it, put ionization on it, give it a balanced light, you'll have a super plant, you know? Especially if you're going to smoke it later or something, you know? Pleiadians, what they do is they have a sound generator system in the greenhouse, equivalent of a greenhouse. Realize that the Pleiadians are horticulture specialists. The Pleiadians' pastime is horticulture, nature. They believe to get next to God is to get next to nature. Our science yet is able to, you know, grow or create a blade of grass. We haven't even gotten that far yet. Pleiadians can do that.
They don't even know what crystal matter is. They haven't even figured that out yet.
So the Pleiadians spend a lot of their time with nature. And so what they do is, if you could imagine, they're growing this giant mushroom. And this thing, you know how we're starting to talk with the DNA and tomatoes now, and they can ripen themselves, and creating anti-venoms against insects, so the bugs don't eat different kind of plants, which will actually destroy it, the yellow stuff, but it keeps, makes it very ugly looking to the eye plant. They'll grow up a big structure, looks like a giant mushroom, it's about 20 feet across. It gets to a certain level, they'll inject a resin into it. When the resin goes up in there, it hardens this growing thing into something like fiberglass or carbon fiber. And that becomes a hull of a spaceship. And sometimes a little car that they drive around underneath that way. And they do a lot of their... When Bob Lazar was describing what he called a sport model out of Area 51, one thing that impressed him the most about the captured Pleiadian ships, as he looked at the geometry and the structure, he says, this cannot be made on Earth. He says, I don't know how this is made, this superstructure inside the ship, but it's too perfect and too well joined and too, you know, similar in the structure, too symmetric to be made. He says it couldn't be made here. Well, obviously, it was grown. Nature made it, you know. It's fascinating technology when you start really getting into this stuff on a really deep level. Okay, now, the next thing we want to do is we want to look at the astral plane here for a minute, in the auras. I don't know if I can think I can reverse this thing. You're never going to see anything on this screen. It's amazing that they understand. Well, it's not amazing. They're very intelligent people, low courage, but very intelligent. They understand how the invisible universe works.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get more. See, all physical matter is connected as electrical poles, and you have a telecommunication center, the center of gravity. It's monitoring radioactivity, radiatively and gravitationally monitored. So if there's any change in polarity or potential, electrical potential, it's constantly being monitored. The pole shift to compensate for any imbalance. That's how delicate the universe is. When you have one negative thought, every piece of physical matter in the universe shifts radiatively and gravitationally to compensate for that imbalance. People are constantly saying to me, well, what can I do as one person? I said, you can control the whole universe. If you can, I can unbalance, all I have to do is think one negative thought and I unbalance the whole universe. Every piece of matter in the universe had to shift to compensate for my unbalance. Russell goes into this in his teaching.
Yeah, the Andronians teach that too. It's their science. The holistic thought.
But I don't think the world's quite ready for that yet. You know,
because you've got to become a mind being. That's when you become universal and practice synchronicity instead of this illusory sense perception which divides everything. And become synchronized with the universe, you become one with everything. And you don't see any separation. That's why I can look at an object and see both sides of it. That's why I do it with the sun. I can reverse. I turn the sun inside out and see the black sphere. I don't even have to look at the sun anymore. I can look at a black sphere and know it's there. It's invisible, but I can bring it into visibility by with consciousness, by turning it inside out. The same thing with an object. You reverse an object, what I do is I go in my mind, I turn the object upside down so I can see the both sides of it. And I know that the reversal is illusionary. So what I do is I look at the right side. There's only one direction in the universe, that's clockwise. Counterclockwise is an optical illusion. Because you're reversing it. And everything you've got to understand that we use mirrors to reverse it.
Now, with check this out. Okay, now when you look at the brain, we have these thousands of wires coming out of the brain. And these wires are very important. First of all, the material of the center of the wire is going to be changed. You know, like, for example, if this was a lead wire going into the wall, this projector wouldn't work because there'd be too much of a voltage drop of the electrons going through lead. But this is the copper wire, and the copper doesn't have a big voltage drop. Most people that are brain dead have lead wires. You do not have conductive wet wires. The idea is to change the wire from lead to pure platinum, which is highly conductive. Okay? This is what happens in the path of enlightenment.
Conduction instead of induction.
Right. So what happens is, what we do to start this process off, we encourage people to have large amounts of sodium, potassium, and phosphorus in their systems, which I take at some external and I have it in the formula to help the process. Secondly, we don't, when the wires start carrying large amounts of current, they're also going to be carrying large amounts of magnetic fields. And what we don't want is a magnetic field of one wire, which is carrying one series of DNA instructions to the body, to interfere with another wire that's also carrying other kinds of instructions. This interference is a disease called tinnitus on this planet. So what we have to do then is insulate this wire. And this is done with a myelin sheath by building that. Myelin comes from coconut and lecithin. We use a thing called phosphorylated choline lecithin in here, PC lecithin, in this formula, because as your body changes, you're going to need to have better insulation. If I were to use this wire, for example, which works fine with a slide projector, and hook it up to a giant air compressor, the air compressor would need far more current, and the wire would burn up in a few minutes. Okay? Same thing will happen when you start increasing the capacity of your brain. The brain is also not only a switch, it's also a battery. It generates electricity. The intelligence comes from the mineral kingdom. The electricity comes from what's called electrolytes. Electrolytes are present in Fotai, ginseng, and Gotola. These are the three herbs that the FDA is almost adamant about stopping on this planet. I think if you'd say to the FDA, which herbs would you take off the market first, it would be Fotai, ginseng, and Gotola. Because these herbs, when they're in your brain, allow you to generate large amounts of radiation. And therefore, atoms, electron structures, cell structures that are synchronous within their own nature. These herbs keep your body from being influenced by outside nuclear radiation, radioactivity, radiation from power poles. This is exactly what the FDA does not want to have them. They want you to be programmed by ELF and all of this stuff. The next thing that has to happen, once you build up these circuits and these pathways for electricity in the body for exposure, you have to bring them into synchronicity. And that's what the nodes of Grenier are all about. Nodes of Grenier are like on a linear accelerator, little pathways that increase the electron flow so that when the electricity is generated, it strikes the target, it shoots off radiation. In the human body, the spine acts as a linear accelerator. The gray matter acts as a target. And so when you supercharge the spine currents and shoot these energies by focus down into the brain cells, your body starts generating huge amounts of radiation. Christ, for example, generated so much radiation people could sense him miles and miles away. Because in those days, they didn't have a telephone.
They had a way to measure that.
Yeah, I know.
Dr. Oscar Brundler used to measure that, and Leonardo da Vinci had a brain radiation of 720. I think Russell had a brain radiation of about 800.
Yeah, I've been present at the university when they measured this radiation. Second thing about this is, if you were to take a person right here and generate an aura field around that person, okay, this person has zero personality. Person by themselves, generating, their aura field, has no personality whatsoever. Zero, nada, zip, nothing. There's no karma. The person is just existing. There's no action, no reaction, nothing. Now, if you take a second person and bring them into the presence of the first person, immediately the aura is engaged. Immediately there's transaction, which is instant karma. And immediately, depending on what this transaction, this past tense reaction called dharma, which affects everything around you, the crystal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, everything. And this interreaction at this point is the personality. Okay? Everybody understand that? when you take the third person and bring that third person in, you now create a summating field. As soon as you create three, you've got a field, a pyramid, a portal, a passageway. This field, on its first level of expression, from karma to dharma and dharma to karma, is called the astral plane. Okay? Emotional plane of energy. Where all emotions are stored for you to draw down on to behave the way we do. Okay? If person C were to lose their form and be out of body, like they ate too much mustard or something, died, they would go up on the astral plane. And then if person B became pregnant with person A, person C would reincarnate back. And that's how the law of reincarnation works. Okay? Through those pains. There's a limitation to where this takes place. This is where racism comes in.
Would you repeat that again, Dr.?
Yes, please.
What?
Would you go over that again?
Sure. Where do you want me to start?
Go back to where you were talking about this person reincarnates into this person.
Okay. Person C loses their form. They immediately go up on the astral plane. Okay, because they're not in the physical plane anymore. Person A and person B gets person B pregnant, right? Person C now returns through person B back to the physical plane. Okay? This has an area of influence which is called racism. The boundaries of these areas where this can occur are known on this planet as nations. The boundaries where the phenomenon occurred is called the ring pass knot. It's planetary. It extends from the core of the Earth to the first satellite, which would be the moon in this case. So all of this action, all this racism action, occurs at first within racial boundaries, and then when there's freedom of racial boundaries, it becomes planetary boundary. And that's called the ring cast knot. Okay? Later on, this goes out into planetary, it becomes interplanetary. As you rise in consciousness, the astral plane extends for you to other planets. As we rotate around the Pleiades every 27.5 years, 144,000 souls are liberated from this process to go out into space, to go to Sirius and the Pleiades and different places. And as we move through the zodiac from the Piscean Age only allowed the incarnation of racially bound terrestrial beings to live here. Anything that was born here outside that had to come by special pretense during the Piscean Age, i.e. a Dalai Lama, i.e. an extraterrestrial visitor. Now, these people that lived in this time were believers. The integrity level of the soul was that of belief, and so they established organized religion and incarnated within their religious frequencies. So therefore, Catholicism, for example, is a science of mastery of this incarnating cycle and controlling the people through birth control and spiritual control. And that's why the Pope is so powerful. Okay? And each religion is that way.
The Whore of Babylon.
Right. Sure. Now what happens is we are going into the Aquarian Age. When we go into the Aquarian Age, the vibratory frequency of the aura rebounding center within the core of the Earth is brought up in frequency and now allows souls of the other 144,000 that previously left the sphere of Ring Pass Knot to re-enter. So we can bring in a person C to a person B that's not in the family locally anymore, that's coming from another world, like another star system. Okay? And that's what's going on in this time. And that's only because back down on the chakra system that I was talking about, stellar, remember, What are vibratory stimuli? Lunar, planetary, gemstones, sound, and we also said stellar. So now we have the stellar influence. The Pleiadians and the terrestrials both have a way of identifying these souls. The terrestrial soul is identified and labeled only after birth. The Pleiadian soul is identified before birth, which makes the family unit perpetuate into a great higher power structure. Right?
Excuse me, what do you mean by identifying? What's the problem?
Okay, your iron, your body, has nerves. It's electricity. You have blood. Blood goes as this carrier of the soul energy. Inside the blood are pyramids. Red blood cells are called hemoglobins.
Would that be comparable to pheromones, which is the genetic encoding?
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't really jumped on that yet. There's a whole other thing, another structure I haven't introduced yet. Here is an iron. This is a heme. One heme. One chromophone. These are iron atoms. There's four of them. Two alpha chains, two beta chains with about 700 enzymes. Look like alpha cells or tablets. Okay? First problem with the human race is that the bottom part, the female side of the energy, doesn't even function. So we got to get this functioning by the proper mineral assimilation through this kind of a process. And once that starts to function, now we have a polarity sensitive unit to work with because it's iron. So what happens is when the human child first thing that happens to the human child is the DNA imprint of the brain that child is going to be born. Okay? The next thing that happens is starts to build up an arterial system and starts to build a heart and starts pumping blood. Almost immediately it's the brain, the heart, in the arterial system, in that order. And strangely enough, first ray will, second ray love, third ray polarization, male or female. That's the way it comes. The body process starts that way. Okay? So, what happens is, as soon as blood is pumping in the body, in the baby, right? Blood is what? Blood is iron. Iron is what? Mutable. Mutable by what? Electronic vibration. Electronic vibration imprints what? Flesh. Fingerprints. Boom. Hand footprints. So immediately, the soul starts a pattern to be identified after the kid comes out and gets his fingerprint taken, right? That's the way it works here. Pleiadians...
Vibratory blueprint.
Yeah. Pleiadians don't do it that way. The Pleiadians have biotechnology, computer-like devices, that identify the vibratory rate of the fetus as soon as the soul connects to it, and so they know who that person is going to be by genetics, by family, because they have this huge Akashic record bank like the Atlanteans had, and so they know immediately that George, who died 5 years ago in a space crash, is going to be born to Sally over here, because Sally's pregnant with George now. But when George is born, George is not rushed into the family biochemical circles and said, this is who you are. George goes to school for 120 years. In that 120 years, he gets the equivalent of 15 different PhDs. And one of the first ones is that of nature, that of identity to life. And Pleiadians are human like we are. And eventually, the child decides to know who his biological family was from a previous incarnation. Then the child is introduced, if he wants to, or she wants to the previous biological ancestors. Okay? That's why they say the family unit is the most powerful unit in the universe. That technology was brought here to this planet 26,000 years ago, once, and maybe 26,000 years before that, to the Brahmins in Tibet. And they imparted that knowledge to the Brahmins, which eventually the Dalai Lama picked it up. And the Tibetans are the only ones in their religion today that use it to consciously identify one of their leaders. Okay? The Egyptians did it. They were great at it.
they had a different, they had a kinky way of doing it because they were taught by the Atlanteans how to do it. But when the Egyptians did it, they took it in a literal way, and so they tried to keep the mummy embalmed in tannic acid for keeping the energy of the soul nearby. It wasn't that they thought they were going to resurrect in their bodies. They wanted to preserve the integrity of that body so that that person's seed would be coming in somewhere in the vicinity where he left from, and possibly back in the family unit again. That's why they kill all the slaves and shut everybody in the crypt and, you know, seal them all up. Make damn sure that this energy was solidified, you know. So this is what Christ was talking about when he was talking about life more abundant. When I built the time machine in Laguna Beach, the first lesson that I learned in the time machine was the one I just gave you here. That was the first thing the time travel taught me. Pleiadians showed me there was no future. There was only the present. And they said, through the understanding of time, you can understand the interpretation of the soul, and therefore the women can know who their children are, which children they bear, you know.
Well, that's the end of that one. That was a good long quickie. Anyway, that's a fun, I remember doing that lecture. Might be a continuation of this. Last week, by the way, is the first part. This was the second part. So if you go to Saturday night for the weekend of the 18th or 17th, whenever that was, 12th or 16th, you'll get the rest of this, the first part. Anyhow, we'll see you here. You can see me on Ustream live. And, of course, the book is out. Go to Paradigm.com, and you can order the book now. There's only 1,000 of them being printed. Special limited edition before it goes to the publisher. And it'll probably get abridged. All right. And we'll talk a little bit later.